What a great song. What great voices. You know, I think I mentioned this to y'all before. I said, you know, I've always thought that a preacher ought not sing and a singer ought not preach, but Brother Ron and now Brother Chris, y'all have caused me just to change that way of thinking altogether. I think I based it on hearing Brother Roy sing, but I'm not sure. So, but you all have changed my mind. So thank y'all, and what a beautiful, beautiful song. And Chris, all kidding aside, I knew Peggy could sing well, but wow, what a great job. So thank you. And you be turning to Psalm 100. You know, it's the first Sunday in November, and so you know what everybody's beginning to think of: Thanksgiving. And you know, it gets on our mind, and it begins to we begin to think, well, Thanksgiving's coming up now. You know, what do we think we're thankful for? And it's important that we realize some things and that we should be thankful for. But it occurred to me that when we have Thanksgiving, it ought to turn into Thanksgiving. Because, you know, when any time I share with someone who's prayed to receive Christ, I always say, listen, the fact that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and on that cross is that it ought to motivate us to live for Him. And so that's why I just think it's so important that when we think of Thanksgiving, it just automatically moves over to, Thanksgiving, it just automatically moves over to Thanksgiving. And so if you're there in Psalm 100, if you would please stand as we honor the Lord as we read His words. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth all generations. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank You so much for loving us enough to send Your Son, Jesus, to die on that cruel, cruel cross for us. And God, it's because of that, we ought to be thanking You every day for the many, many things that You've done for us. And now I pray this morning, God, if there's anyone here that does not know You as their personal Savior, that this will be the day that they finally surrender, that they finally understand the goodness and the grace and the mercy that only You could have. And Lord, we pray Your blessings on everything that's done this morning. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I heard a story the other day about a new pastor went to a new church, a new town, and people began to tell him about the town grouch. You know, I said, man, you just never seen a person like this in all your life. He's not thankful for anything. Said he believes the world owes everything to him. Said he's the biggest grouch we've ever been around. So this pastor took the challenge. He said, well, I'm going to go see him. So he went to see him. He said, sir, I understand you're not thankful for anything. He said, that's right. He said, are you telling me you don't have one thing to be thankful for? He said, that's right. Not one thing. Pastor said, well, let me suggest something to you. He said, be thankful that God put your nose on right. The guy looked at him, why is that? He said, because if God had turned it upside down, every time it rained, you'd drown. And when you sneezed, you'd blow that thankless head off. Well, I think sometimes we get in these moods where we're like that for some reason. And so you know, I believe that we ought to look at the Scripture and see why we should be thanksgiving. First of all, thanksgiving when you're with the sinners or those people who are without Christ. It's very important. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50 says, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen or the lost, and I will sing praises unto thy name. You see, lost people need to know how thankful we are for what the Lord has done to us. And so, you know, the reason is that it's to show that you are different in this world. Now, you know, we should not live as the world, but we have to live in this world. And when we live in this world, we are obviously different from this world. And the two doesn't mesh. And so when lost people, people who do not know Christ, see us in our lives, they ought to see that we're different. We're not of the world. We have a different outlook on things. And so, you know, when we see this, and it's very evident, you see, because also we need to see that we are delighted to be in this world. Now, over in Psalms 37, I want to show you one other verse here that I believe tells us what we should be thankful for. In verse 4, it said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he give thee the desires of your heart." Now listen, what that simply means is that God will supply our needs, and we ought to be thankful, and the world ought to see us as being thankful to what he does. Now, you know, I heard another story about a man that a long time, couple friends, and this guy ran into him, hadn't seen him in years, and the man looked all down and out, almost in tears. He said, "Sir," I said, "what in the world has happened to you? What bad thing has happened to you in this world, my friend?" He said, "Well," he said, "3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $30,000. I said, "Well, why are you so sad?" "Well, 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I'd never even met died and gave me $85,000. Now, the friend at this point is really beginning to scratch his head. Well, why in the world? I still don't understand. He said, "Well, maybe this will help you." He said, "1 week ago, a great died and left me about $250,000. Now, the friend really, really had it about this time. He said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" He said, "I don't understand." He said, "Well," he said, "it's easy. He said, this week, I ain't got one penny from anybody." Now think about that. You see, we live in an unthankful world. And someone that does not know Christ, we live in an unthankful, an entitled world. In other words, you've all seen the people that some people think they're entitled just because they're walking on the face of the earth to have everything they want without doing any work, without doing any worry, without doing anything. And so you know, we see that when we are walking in the world delighted with what we have, then other people see us. Listen, God never promised any of us that we would have everything that we wanted. But what he did promise us is that he's always going to take care of us and take care of our needs. And so if we look at it realistically, we see that that's going to happen. And then thirdly, when we're around lost people, we ought to live to show that our destination is beyond this world. Now, folks, if that doesn't get you shouting and thinking, I don't know what will. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, then we see again in verse 6, "Therefore, we are always confident," what? "Knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So listen, we need to show people this is not where it ends. We are confident. Listen, I'm as confident as I could be about anything that when I draw my last breath here on earth, no one knows when that's going to be. But the day I do that, then I'm going to be absent from this body and I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Now folks, that means something to me. And it should mean something to everyone in us. And so listen, people who do not know Christ need to understand that. They need to understand, listen, this is not how it ends. This is not where it ends. But the day we draw our last breath, boom, we are in the presence of the Lord. You see, we have to attend many funerals and many things over the years, and we have our lost ones, our loved ones, that are lost from the earth forever. But you know what I always try to focus on? And listen, I've lost some people that I love dearly. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you. And my eyes well up just thinking about them. But you know what gives me the confidence is one day I'm going to be with them again. You know, one day, hey, listen, my papa's been, he's been gone 30 years. But I miss him every day. But you know what? He was the most godly influenced man that I would ever want to be around. And I know one day I'm going to be with him. And you see, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, then can I tell you that you're not going to have that reunion with all those lost saints that have gone on. So we need to understand that, and people ought to see that in us and make them want to have what we have. So we ought to be thanksgiving when we're around those without Christ. Secondly, though, we ought to be thanksgiving when we're with the saints or the people, the other believers. Listen, don't ever believe the devil's lie about we don't have to assemble ourselves together to get a blessing from God. Listen, I got an aunt, and I loved her dearly too. But she went to her grave believing that I can be just as close to the Lord sitting in my living room as I can in his house. Folks, that's a lie straight from the gates of hell. It won't work that way. It can't work that way. Jesus himself said that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Listen, again, we'll go back to Psalm again in 35. But I want you to see what God's Word says, because it's important that we understand that we need to fellowship with other believers. It's very important that we need to do that. So the church will be enlightened. Listen, in verse 18 of Psalm 35, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among many people, or much people. Listen, folks, we do that where other people can be enlightened. We need to let others know what God's doing in our life, how he's working in our life. It's important that other people see the work that God is doing in our life. Why? Because not only will that enlighten them, but listen, the church will be edified. What does that mean? Well, what we need to do is follow after the things of the Lord, the holy things. You see, when churches start going downhill, it begins with people following things not of the Lord. Things begin to take priority over the things of the Lord. And you know, the more that you stay away from God's house, the easier it is the next time. And the next time. And pretty soon, you develop that attitude. I don't need to be in God's house. Why, I can get more out of that. You begin finding fault. You begin doing all these things. That's why God says, listen, we need to give thanks and praise in this great congregation with many people. We need to do it with many, many people. And when we do that, we need to have a thankful spirit. Like I said, there's a lot of people, and unfortunately a lot of people in our churches today that don't have a thankful spirit. They have I'm owed this. Hey, I showed up today and they didn't roll out the red carpet. I mean, I've seen people like that. Folks, not here, thankfully. But I have seen people that would be out of church for a month, a year, and walk in and well, you know, preacher, old man so-and-so, he didn't even look my way. Now, he is sitting on the other side of the church, but he didn't bother to even look my way. I used to say, did you walk over there and speak to him? Well, no, that wasn't my place. Okay. You see, we got to have a thankful spirit. We got to have this thankful spirit, thankful to be here. Listen, in our congregation, there are many people that would love to be here this morning, but they can't because of circumstances. But yet we have other people that could just care less whether they're here and could be here, but they just don't want to. Listen, we need to always have this thankful spirit in our church. Why? So the church will be encouraged. You see, I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've been lower than a snake's belly. I mean, you know, something going wrong, something here, something there. And I walk into church and somebody wrapped their arm around me. Preacher, I've been praying for you this week. Or I'll get a card in the mail. You know, preacher, just want to know how much I appreciate you. Or you know, hand me a check for $40,000. No, I'm kidding. But it's just, you know, it's just encouraging. And that's what we should do with other folks, is encourage them. Because listen, it is a tough world out there. And every one of us. But when we're together with a group of believers, we ought to be able to encourage and tell others what God has done for you. You know, the best way to encourage is to continually give thanks to the Lord in our church. Folks, we've got so much to be thankful for. God has put His hand on our church. And we ought to thank everybody, tell everybody we see how we thank God for His movement in our church. Listen, that's how we all get encouraged. Don't be a discourager. Be an encourager. You know, the truth of the matter is, we can find fault with anything. I mean, if you pick at it long enough. But you know what? People don't need that. They've got enough faults of their own. We need to encourage. Our Sunday school lesson, Brother Roy mentioned about a young man that was going to be in the church pictorial. And right before they're going to take the picture, he went and dyed his hair blue. Well, boy, his daddy was mad. He said, I'm going to have a word with this guy. But you see, finally Mama said, let me ask you a question. You know, he plays in four different praise bands for the Lord. He's starting Bible college. He's doing all these things. That hair will be gone in 2 weeks. That'll wash out. Is it worth it? You see, folks, the bottom line is there's none of us perfect here. And we ought to always be willing to encourage people. Listen, Leanne and I at our last youth ministry, we didn't go there to be youth ministers, the youth minister, but we kind of, by default, got it. They'd been through three or four that had bad things, and I was associate pastor, and the pastor came to me and said, would you be willing to take our youth? I said, well, you know, I'm old enough to be their granddaddy almost, but I'll take them. We go up there, and there's about three or four in the youth group that night. Go up there, and one of them had blue hair. Well, at least a streak down the middle was blue. Another one wore cat ears. I still haven't figured that one out. Can anybody tell me why? Young ladies, why would y'all wear cat ears? I'm just curious. I don't know. Another one had announced she was bisexual to the group. And another one had tried to, or had almost killed herself by doing this choking game where they'd almost pass out and then do it. And I walked downstairs. I told him, I said, God help us. Man, I'm too old to do this. I ain't never dealt with anything like this. But you know what the Lord told us? To just love those kids. We went up there, and I said, look, guys. I said, I just want you to know, the Lord loves you, Leanne and I love you. We're going to do whatever we can to help you and support you. Within a month, those four, five, or six had turned into 25 or 30. They'd started a little praise band. They were singing. The one that had tried to choke herself and claimed she was bisexual got saved at youth camp. Leanne led her to the Lord not long after that. One by one, all these kids began to get saved. I began to see the tears run down their faces with ours. You see, folks, it'd been real easy to say, you know what? Those kids ain't ever going to be worth it. There's no point in investing any time in these kids. But you see, folks, that's what Jesus does. We as Christians, that's what we ought to do. We ought to be encouragers, not discouragers. We ought to say, listen, the Lord takes you as you are, I take you as you are. And we're going to let the Lord clean you up. I can't clean you up. I can't make you change the color of your hair. I can't make you not do the little choking games. I can't make you quit believing the lies of Satan. But the one that I know can is the Lord Jesus Christ. Be an encourager. Well, always encourage. Finally, thanksgiving daily with the Savior. Listen, folks. In Psalm 104, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Listen, folks. The first thing we ought to be thankful for in our daily life is our salvation. You see, anyone who's living under the blood of Christ should always be living a life of thanksgiving. Folks, I'm going to tell you, thank God I don't have to pay the penalty for my sins. Listen, I wasn't the best teenager in the world, as I assume most of y'all weren't. But you know what? God saved me. And I don't know how in the world I would have survived the teen years lost. I'll just be honest with you. There were so many times when God steered me out of danger that it would have been real easy to have been in. You see, we need to understand that we ought to be thankful every day for our salvation. Secondly, for your service. Listen. We should be thankful that God allows us to serve. Your Sunday school lesson this morning was on gifts, spiritual gifts. What that means is God has gifted you to serve Him. He's entrusted a gift with you. And that means that we need to utilize those gifts. I mean, we ought to be thankful that God gave us a gift to use. Can you imagine? I can't imagine spending a lifetime in church sitting doing nothing. I mean, you know, I've told you before, the worst 7 or 8 or 9 months of our life was in between churches. I mean, man, I was like a fish out of water. I mean, I thought, my goodness. And we'd visit this church and that church and this church, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And I began to look, well, if I was here, could I serve in this way? If I was here, could I serve this way? You see, I was thankful that God had gifted me. And I wasn't comfortable not using that gift. You see, well, however you're gifted, you ought to thank Him for it. And when you thank Him for it, you ought to be willing to use it. You know, our spiritual gifts don't die before we do. Can I tell you all that? It's like sometimes we sit around just, well, I'm too old. I guess my spiritual gift is dead. No, doesn't work that way. You die before it does. I can guarantee you that. And so there's always something to do. Sure, physical limitations, mental limitations sometimes. Listen, all this happens. I understand that. But if we are perfectly healthy, that gift doesn't die. God, we ought to be thankful that God gave us a place. And then lastly, we ought to be thankful for His steadfastness. I think my note says for your, but I meant His steadfastness. He is always good. Think about that. It said, for the Lord is good. There's not been one time that anybody has ever proven that God was bad. He's always good. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're looking at, God is always good. The psalmist here recognized that. He said, listen, for the Lord is good. And then he goes on, he says, what? His mercy is everlasting. Listen, we should be thankful that His mercy and grace is sufficient to cover all of our sins. You know, God doesn't just say, Well, I tell you what, I died on the cross for part of your sins. No. God said, I died on the cross for every sin that you've ever committed and every sin you ever will commit. Folks, His grace and mercy is sufficient. What that tells me is that I don't have to clean myself up. He will do it. You see, I've explained this to a lot of people over the years, but when you pray to receive Christ, you don't just get up from that prayer and now you're a perfect person. It's not going to happen. But what you do is you get up, now you've got the power to deal with the things as they come in your life. Now you've got the power to defeat sin. Now you've got something when you decide, I want to commit this sin, all of a sudden there's something in your head saying, no, don't do that. I died for that. I died so that you wouldn't do that. It should motivate us to live for Him. Not only that, but His truth endures. God has never been caught in a lie. He never will. Satan's tried it on several occasions. Can't do it. They tried it on Jesus when He walked on the earth. It never happened. They could not. The Word of God cannot lie. What we do is we twist it sometimes to the way that we want it to sound. But His truth is always there. I want to ask you a question today. Are you thanksgiving, or are you just going to have a Thanksgiving in about 3 or 4 weeks? And you're going to say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, this, for that. Amen. Then you get up and continue to live for you. You see, the biggest motivation we could ever have to live for Him is out of thanks for what He's done for us. It's that simple. God's never been proven in a lie. I've heard this all my life. You've probably heard it. But it goes something like this. The truth of God will stand when the world's on fire. Can I tell you it's going to do that one day? God's truth is still going to be God's truth when He decides to destroy this world by fire. He'll be standing there on truth. He is truth. He's on the horse. He'll be standing there, truth. Are you thanksgiving? There may be someone here this morning that's never truly. You're not thanksgiving because you never truly surrendered to Him for eternal life. Folks, there's a lot of people that I think goes through their life thinking, well, I made a decision years ago. I've been a pretty good person, but you don't live a life of thanksgiving. Folks, it's about the heart. Maybe some that's never even made a profession of faith or never attempted to. But folks, you will never live thankfully until you've done that. This invitation is open to that. Maybe others that God's been telling you, we want you here at our church to serve. We want you here utilizing your gifts. But you see, we need to know that you're committed to our church and to God in order to use the gifts for our church, if that makes sense. We want you to come and join fellowship so we can plug you in places to use the gift that God's given you. Where are you today? Do you truly know Him? Are you living thankfully? Or do you need to invite Him in your heart forever? Listen, you do whatever it is that the Lord is asking you to do this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for the opportunity we have to live thankfully. We thank You for the thanksgiving in our lives. And God, I pray right now that no one has taken their relationship with You for granted, but rather, God, everyone here is searching their own heart, saying, am I living thankfully for You? Not just living for You, but living thankfully for You. It makes a big difference. God, I pray right now that You're touching hearts. Pray you're touching the hearts of those that don't know you as their personal Savior. God, give them the courage to walk down this aisle and surrender. God, give those that you've sent our way to use their gifts the courage to walk down this aisle. God, give those that are sitting here and they may have just been a spectator for a long time and now they just want to live for you. God, you give them the courage to do what they need to do, God. In your precious name we pray. Amen.